Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. Today you're watching Fit Club. Today we talk elevation mass training, fasted cardio, and we're joined by our special guest, Corey Taylor, from A&E's Fit to Fat to Fit. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
Welcome to Fit Club. Thank you for joining the club. We are getting it in this Wednesday. I'm your host, Fallon Mercedes. You guys can find me online at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon on Instagram and Twitter. Joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Shaka Strong. Where can they find you?
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Shaka Strong.
And if you're wondering who this lovely man next to me is, this is, I guess you could say, my teammate from Fit to Fat to Fit. He was the trainer on the Atlanta episode. And where can they find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at FAA Lifestyle or Instagram at I am Corey Taylor, CoreyTaylor.
Now, we have a lot to talk about this show, but I'm especially, you know, excited to kind of just chat with you and talk about your experience because I had my own experience. I know you went through it. I watched your episode, and man, we do have a lot to talk about, but let's get into our topics for the day. The first one we have is fasted cardio. Now, this is a topic that I kind of go back and forth on. As a trainer, I would like to say, you know, you should eat before you work out, but me personally, and I don't even like to tell my clients this, but I have to do fasted cardio. I cannot have food in my stomach, and I just feel like I'm gonna burn the food that I just ate. So for me, I've seen beneficial results when I do fasted cardio. How do you feel about it, Shaka?
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite. So everyone in the fitness industry goes fasted cardio.
Yeah.
And yeah, I tried it. So one day I said, let me try it. And I was weak, I was tired, I wanted to go eat. And so my workout suffered because I didn't have enough energy to, and like my workouts are tough, and you know, I just didn't have enough energy. And then when I eat, I can just go maximum to 100. I mean, I'm not eating huge meals before the workout, just having enough to get some fuel. So I read this article about the benefits of fasted cardio. And so it kind of surprised me given how crappy I felt. Mm-hmm. And there are some different studies that say that it's just the same as doing on a full stomach. But what it comes down to is personal preference. Yeah. If you're like me and you feel weak, then eat something.
Yeah. And I also believe it's really important to kind of figure out, you know, when is it that you're doing the fasted cardio? Yeah. If you're waking up and you're working out within an hour, yeah, it might be okay. But if it's 4 p.m. and you haven't ate in like 5-6 hours, no, do not do fasted cardio.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you are going to get weak. You're going to get dizzy. But I also have girls that I've trained that, you know, if they have anything in their stomach, they'll feel sick. They'll get nauseous. They feel like the food's going to come up. So it really, again, kind of like you said, depends on, you know, the individual. Corey,
you used to do fastest cardio, right?
Yeah. I mean, I personally feel like it's preference. You know, if I'm trying to lean down, I'm going to do fasted cardio because I'm just burning that pure fat versus store. But if I'm trying to bulk up, you know, during the winter months, I'm waking up, I'm eating like Popeye. So I think it comes down to what you're trying to do. And then, like you said, what you can do. Yeah. Because if you're in there lightheaded, dropping the bars and stuff, you got to eat.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I just, you know, let your body tell you what's best for it.
Yeah.
And what we do know is that when you are fasted, great information is that your growth hormone response goes up. Mm-hmm. And you get more sensitive to insulin, which is a good thing because insulin regulates your blood sugar.
Right.
And so you don't get that insulin sensitivity buildup that you do when you're constantly eating those foods.
Right.
So there are definitely positives to fasting. And that's why I like intermittent fasting. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have done that before.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, you know, that would be something that I do when I travel because there'd be so much time in between. But like you said, my body responds positively to that.
Yeah.
I'll look a lot stronger and leaner, and it's because of those things happening from the hormonal level.
Yeah.
From just going those bouts without eating.
And that's for me, what was great is I don't do intermittent fasting regularly, but when I used to cheat real bad back in the day, I would get like a whole pie of pizza and just eat it myself. I would wait 16 to 20 hours before I ate after that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People didn't know how I was staying so lean eating those foods because I was incorporating IF into my diet.
And see, the thing is, I think a lot of people, they look at fasting as you're depriving the body, but I actually feel like, you know, your life is about balance.
Yeah.
And like you said, if you ate bad and you ate a whole pizza to yourself, or it was the holidays and you overindulged, I feel like your body needs to bounce back. It needs that balance. So I personally do believe that you should fast, not all the time, but, you know, just to have that balance in your life.
Yeah. I tell my clients to detox every month.
Yeah.
I just think from the mental aspect, break free from your routine long enough to kind of refine it if need be. and, you know, start the month that way. So I'm pro fasting, pro all of that.
Yeah, nice. And one of the things that they kind of broke down was this myth about eating and about having the 7 meals a day and that being the way to burn fat. And they're saying it really doesn't look like it matters, which I kind of concluded because I'd always had 3 square meals growing up. I didn't have 7 meals.
Exactly.
And I still was lean and I had muscle and everything. So I figured there must be something to that.
See, the thing is that the body can't, you know, really distinguish, you know, exactly how many, how many sets of meals that you ate.
Yeah.
I feel like you said, if it's 3 in one day, that's fine. Sometimes I listen to my body, and sometimes I'm like, okay, it's been 4 hours, I should eat. But if I'm not hungry, I'm not going to make myself eat.
Exactly.
And if I wake up in the morning and I'm hungry and it's before I hit the gym, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to eat. So I like to kind of listen to my body because I feel like your body knows what's best for you, you know? And I feel like, well, not all the time. Sometimes you want things you shouldn't eat. But I think it's good to be in tune with your body, even when you're working out. You know, if this hurts, this doesn't feel right, yeah, you might have great form, but listen to your body. You don't want to get injured. I feel like you should always have that self-awareness. You should listen to yourself.
Most definitely. Food is my fuel source. I mean, I'm burning probably close to 4,000 calories a day, 5,000, you know, give or take. So I have to eat every 3 hours. Yeah. If I don't, I'm like a diabetic person. Like, my head will start hurting.
Yeah, so you're listening to your body. Yeah. Your body.
I don't even let hunger come. Yeah. It's like two hours and 47 minutes we're eating.
Yeah, see, I think it's very individual, and it's based on your lifestyle that you're living.
Definitely.
And another thing I liked about this article was it talked about testosterone and how it's boosted by doing compound movements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if you're really trying to get lean, you might want to do something where you kind of vary up your training with intermittent fasting or fasted cardio and also varying that with your strong compound movements. But typically for those movements, you want a little bit of fuel in your body, so you might feel like you need something.
Yeah. If you guys out there want to read the article, we always tweet out all the topics and articles that we talk about on the show. So make sure you guys are following us on Instagram and Twitter, and you guys could click the link and see what, you know, we're discussing. Another article that we kind of went across and we're going to dive into is, I like to call them the gas mask.
Yeah.
But they're not actually. They're called elevation mask, and you've probably seen them in your gym. I personally, I get a little scared when a guy comes behind me. He got this mask on.
He's pounding
these heavy weights. So this article, you know, basically talked about, do elevation masks really work?
Yeah.
And, you know, I personally don't have experience, but me just looking at them, I feel like you look like you're suffocating, and if you can't breathe, I'm sure you're not probably getting the best workout that you can get because you're not getting enough oxygen. So Corey, he's over here disagreeing with me, and I know he uses them, so maybe you can tell us what you've experienced.
Yeah. So first of all, everyone either loves the mask or they hate it. And I have friends that are in the industry.
Yeah.
They'll talk about me like, man, he's a Mortal Kombat reject.
Yeah.
But I personally feel that it's about what you're trying to do. So for the guys that are going to the gym and they're wearing the mask on leg day and they're doing squats and they're doing bicep curls, get out of here.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get attention to yourself because it does look intense.
And you're ruining your workout. You're actually getting less oxygen and you're probably doing less than you could
be
doing.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, but if you're trying to build that, you know, that lactic threshold, if you're trying to build your win, which is what I was trying to do 4 summers ago, which is why I bought it.
Yeah.
I am just a student of struggle. And I looked at it and I said, well, if Marines and people in the military run with these on to build that up, and if firemen do drills with their gear on to build their tolerance up, then this would make sense for me because I do all interval training all day, every day, and I want my lungs strong. So for me, it helped me become so disciplined. I can't, if I pick up a piece of paper, I'm in through the nose, out through the mouth. Like, I can't forget how to breathe right.
It really teaches you to be conscious of your breathing.
You have to, otherwise you won't.
Maybe that would help me.
Well, I'm going to say, I'm glad you gave us that response, because, like, what am I going to say when I tell him it doesn't work?
I know, yeah. We both were struggling with this one.
Well, he's doing it for, the right reasons, but it's not typically why they're marketed.
Yeah. Right, they're not.
But basically marketed like you're doing high altitude training,
which
it does not mimic at all. Because high altitude training, there's actually different molecules of oxygen in the air. And that will actually, over time, it wouldn't be right away anyway. You'd be doing it for several days and hours a day. when you're in high altitude, that would give you more oxygen to your red blood cells. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, unfortunately, this mask doesn't do that. But if you're trying to get your lactic acid threshold up, or if you said you suffered from some sort of, you know, lung problem and your lungs were weak, yes, it would strengthen the actual lungs.
Because that's all you do when, if you have, you know, I think, what, babies, when they have tuberculosis or any type of ailment with the lung.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll do exercise where they're just blowing through a straw, keeping the ball
the balls up, yeah.
So 4 summers later, I do not lose my wind. I don't care who you are.
Really?
I don't care how. I don't. But I'm breathing perfect.
And that's also another benefit that we haven't really discussed. So if it's going to help your breathing, and you might have a problem with your lungs, it's great. Lactic acid threshold.
I won't put on a mask in public, but I might think about putting on a mask because I've noticed, and I've never gotten checked out, but I yawn all the time. And it's not because I'm tired. People are always like, oh, you must be tired.
I'm not getting enough oxygen.
But I feel like you were saying, maybe it will help me be more conscious of my breathing. Breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth.
Because yoga.
I do Bikram yoga, feel like that helps me. But,
well, Bikram's the hot one, right?
Yeah, it's the hot one.
That may not help with the breathing.
No, I'm telling you, when I get out of there, it's just like, I feel maybe because you're breathing in all the moisture and heat for 90 minutes, it's even more than an hour. When I get out of there, I just feel like my sinuses are cleared up. I can almost taste the oxygen.
You might have a breathing problem.
No, I might. I actually
do the hot yoga and I'm just dead. I'm done.
I love it.
Yeah,
hot yoga is a workout for me. It is a workout.
Yeah, I'm just like, man.
Do we have any more about the breathing mask? Any more?
No, I mean, that was for the most part. Basically, it's individual.
Okay.
But the reason they're marketed is not. It's not helping people that are thinking they're getting high altitude training.
I'll say this: nothing can mimic going to, you know, the Alps or going to Colorado, going up there. Nothing can on Earth. And, you know, maybe if you're sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber, I don't know. But the mask alone will help the user have better breathing. And it's the only reason why I promote it to my athletes. I don't give it to my normal.
And that's what
client.
I was just going
to
say. I'm like, the normal average Joe, I don't think this would be beneficial. Yeah. I feel like if you're an athlete, that's going to help your performance.
That's the margin of difference in your season. You know, I have a client who she just got her bid to the Olympic Games in Rio.
Oh,
I've been training
for
We live and die by the mask. Yeah. And she's even said at this point in her career, she's done it all, just breathing better helps her gameplay because you're pushing harder.
Yeah.
And when the mind, you don't panic.
And when you're at a high level, those little differences do make a difference.
Most definitely.
So, but you know, if you're trying to lose 300 pounds, that's not where you want to start by any means. But if you want a cool Instagram picture, I get it. I get it, you know?
I like it.
You want to scare off a couple chicks, you know?
There you go.
All right, let's talk about you. Since you're here, let's just jump into it. I have a lot of questions. Shaka, do you have any questions you
want to
start with? Maybe we'll
plenty.
Start with you and then I'll just kind of...
Well, I was impressed that you got in better shape after the show.
Yes.
So what, you gained like 57 pounds, 261, then you got back down to 9% and you started off at 13%.
Yeah.
So how does that happen?
Man, because I thought, personally, I was like, this is the only time I can show my savageness to the world.
Define savage.
Savage.
Because you said that so much in the episode, and I think I follow you too. Mm-hmm. You say savage a lot.
I haven't found a... Webster hasn't given me a better word. But I wanted to show just how possible you are when you are obsessed or you know, committed to a goal. I wanted to not just get to where I was. Why would I want to do that? I want to get better.
So would you consider me a savage? Because I did the show too, and I think I came out even better.
Of course. Okay. Of course. You got your badge. You got your badge. But no, it took a lot of thought. You know, when I entered that, I said, okay, Corey, you know, I could just work out. Or I could, like, do wheatgrass shots every morning. I could really get back into yoga, meditation. I can come back more flexible. Mm-hmm. You know, I can research different styles and techniques. I wanted to come back kind of reborn into it. Yeah. So that was the fuel. And then, personally, you know, the ego, I wanted to show people that, you know, you can do anything. Mm-hmm. Don't just gain 60 and lose 60. Gain 61 and lose 62.
Yeah.
You know, because no one's telling you you can't. Hey. I went from somebody telling me I couldn't do anything to telling me I can do everything. So if I show up just right at where I was, what does that really say about me, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. What made you want to do the show? Because I know when I got asked, everybody thought I was crazy. They were like, why would you want to get fat for what? So, you know, being that you're one of Atlanta's top, you know, trainers, I think GQ magazine, or there was a couple magazines that named you. But it could be GQ, right? You know, you're named one of the best trainers by them. Everybody knows of you. And if they don't know of you, get on that Instagram or Twitter and follow Corey. But what made you, somebody of your caliber, want to pack on the pounds?
Because it scared me to death.
It scared you?
It scared me.
I like that you can admit that, because it scared me too.
That's the only reason why I did it. Yeah. You can look at it from every angle. You can be like, well, Corey, you develop empathy and you're gonna understand and, you know, you're gonna get deeper. But at that point, I couldn't see any of that. I just knew that I hadn't been afraid in a long time. Thought I was a lion. Thought I was just the king of the jungle. And lo and behold, there's this project that part of me wants to say, I'm gonna pass on that. Yeah. And I was like, if I do that, it's gonna haunt me.
So did you have any second thoughts after accepting the project?
I couldn't have any second thoughts.
He was already in.
The thoughts I gave myself, I think, you know, because I had to go back and forth with my business partner and my manager about what we're gonna do, and I gave myself maybe like a day and a half of just, I just prayed and I thought I was just like, Corey, this makes you nervous. The last time that something made you nervous, your life changed. You know, that was me moving out of my mom's career, moving to Atlanta to start.
So where I
was
are like, you from?
From Nashville, Tennessee. Okay. Right. So I was like, this could be the opportunity for growth. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, who is going to say they're going to ever do this? Mm-hmm. I was like, it would separate me from a lot of people. So I was just like, it must be divine. Let me just go for it. Yeah. Luckily, I lived.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. That's what I want to know about. Wait, so you were pescatarian for a year. And then you were vegetarian.
I was a vegetarian entering that. Oh, okay. I've always tweaked. I'm just a student, so I like to do things just to know if I can or not.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, entering the project, I was like vegetarian. I was celibate. I was like removed from the world.
So, and you were pescatarian prior to going
prior vegetarian. To that.
See, that's what I went pescatarian, mm-hmm. and then I went vegan. And so I'm in the process of that right now. So that was interesting. So how did you deal with having to eat that food after that process?
And everyone asked that. Looking back, it's interesting because it never grossed me out, or I never like. I think what I did do, I did.
He was getting down on that food.
And like, did you get sick?
I never got nauseous. I never anything.
But not nauseous. I would get headaches, constant migraines from all the sugar.
Well, that's the thing. So I had to refine it. Now I tried to do soda for 3-4 days straight. And it kicked my ass.
Yeah,
I was so high, right? And then it takes you so low.
Down, you get that crash.
And I'm training. I'm in Turkey training this Olympian. And I'm trying to, like, you know, put her through workouts. And I can barely even. And I was like, I can't do soda. And then, the refined sugar, that would give me headaches. But the, you know, eating pork kind of made me feel guilty. Because I stopped eating pork this a long time ago. Man. And I'm, like, getting meat lover's pieces. But it was just like.
But that was the best way to pack on the pounds and not feel too crazy.
And I think the person in me, it was a challenge. So I didn't even allow myself to feel any type of thing. I was just like, well, just eating clean is just as hard as eating crappy.
Everybody asked me that, you know, how hard was it to lose the weight? And I said, losing the weight wasn't hard.
Right.
Packing on the pounds, that was more of a challenge. Yeah. I know how to lose weight. Right. I have my clients lose weight all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I know my body. I know what it needs. But this was my first time of trying to gain weight. And my goodness, gaining body fat, we're not talking about water weight, was so I used to cringe when I would get on that scale. And I'm like, a pound and a half? Are you serious?
What was your body percentage when you got fat?
I think I went up to 40% body fat.
Wow, you went up to 50%.
I was at 50. Oh,
yeah, that's another level.
Because I read that and I was just like, really? Like, is that possible?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Wow. Yeah, it was insane. That is crazy.
And so you really just had to kind of lay low, because I read that you had, like, you're burning a bunch of calories a day, you're doing these crazy workouts at 9 in the morning. Then
Your style of training. Yeah, his style of training, you're all over the place.
I'm like 70, 80%.
So how did you keep from going stir?
What did your client say?
How do you keep from going stir crazy because you had to essentially just kind of stop working out? Right?
That was the thing that got me, because I couldn't do anything. And then it's summertime, so I'm looking at all these trainers playing in the sun all day, football games, citywide, kickball leagues. I can't even run after my client to motivate her. I had to sit down. So much so that they came in and they made me chart my steps for like 2 weeks. And they're like, well, we're going to need you to keep your steps under 3,000.
Wow.
So I went from training on foot to literally doing my classes and workouts from a bench. And I would, or from a stool.
And that's rolled. Hard with classes.
And you can't get new clients that way because they look at, oh, is that the trainer?
Oh, yeah. They would come in my studio and be like, is that you on the mural? I wanted to ask you that. Like,
so how did that affect your self-esteem? Because I know as a woman, it was a whole different ball game. Mm-hmm. You know, I was wearing the little things that suck in the stomach just so I could look like I had a little bit of curve and it wasn't just like a blob. So as a man, how did it affect your self-esteem? I know in Atlanta, you know, you're pretty known amongst the ladies.
Well, here's the thing. It's like a paradox. First of all, I definitely had to lose all pride, you know, and it humbled me because what's a trainer without a great body?
Yeah.
Well, I have to find that out now.
Yeah.
And so not having like the body, not having the energy and stuff, it shook me and it forced me to find other depths to go to get to people. So I really got into like, you know, the communication, just talking mm-hmm. and being vocal. And yeah. I realized, like, okay, that's keeping them here close yeah. to me. So never mind about me being overweight. Maybe I just got to be real. But at the same time, living in the South, I feel like I got approached more
that is
when I was overweight.
Oh, yeah, because you said something similar, right? Yeah.
Yo, the girls were like, they were like, Big Daddy, you know, rubbing my stomach.
But that's not, is that a thing? Girls
no.
were like, okay.
So, I know Adonis experienced that. He said,
oh,
even some of my girlfriends liked Adonis when he was bigger.
Yes, dude.
And then even with me, to this day, when I put my my fit and fat photos together, I'll still get guys saying, damn, but you was good, thick.
Yeah. Oh, you were good.
I'm like, really?
Well, I know you said he might have thought it was regional because I feel like in LA, I don't know if that would fly.
No, I don't think right. so. But in the South, I was like, you know, I was built like Gucci Mane.
Yeah.
You know? So I still had like.
And you're muscular still, yeah.
That's the thing. People, for the first 2 months, you know, people thought I was like, man, who you play for? Like, it's a big guy. Because I still had the frame.
Yeah.
Once it started rounding out,
yeah.
then I was like, what's going on, big man? Hey, let me hold the door for you, big guy. That sort of thing.
That is hilarious. Man. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
It's almost easier as
you
a guy.
You felt like
yeah.
it still went down in your DM, even when you was a big boy.
I mean, they didn't understand what I was going through. They just saw a guy that wasn't that bad to their
yeah.
eyes. But I have to, like, make people understand, cool, yeah, you like a big dude, but if the big dude doesn't like where he's at...
Exactly.
It's hard for you to connect, yeah.
You're not going to get what you think you're seeing.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, you're gonna get, I would have been miserable yeah. if I was, like, dating you.
Yeah, you
should. Yeah, one thing I had to kind of work on myself at, my biggest, was... If I couldn't love myself, how could other people love me? You know,
right,
I feel like, and that's what, when I have clients now, I'm like, you have to love yourself during the process because even when you get to your goal weight, to your fittest, there's going to be something. Well, you
oh,
can have a
more,
six
yeah.
pack instead of, you know, a flat stomach. You,
yeah.
There's always more that you can do. So I had to keep on telling myself, girl, you're still who you are. You still are beautiful mm-hmm. on the inside, you know, but like you said, that's not where I felt my best. Even my health was at risk. So did you experience any health issues? Because I know all of us trainers, you know, we all went through
yeah.
something. Mine was my menstrual cycle. I think Adonis almost had a stroke.
Right.
I mean,
wow.
all of us went through. Did you go through any health scares on the show?
Well, for one, I mean, you say health, you know, I have like a chemical imbalance. So, you know, OCD, ADHD, you know,
yeah.
clearly. the sugar...
Yeah.
affected my moods dramatically.
Oh yeah, you were very moody. I remember
lots of mood swings. I was self-loathing. It was like
Liz was like, "What's going on?
Yeah.
Something's you're
Every,
not the same."
When I would wake up in the morning, I would just open my eyes and just be like, here we go again.
Oh no.
Like,
59 days to go.
Did you have dreams of when you were like, you know, in your best
dreams.
Shape and then wake up and remember you're not in your best shape?
I could barely sleep because the snoring would wake me up. I wasn't used to hearing that.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
then I didn't realize sleeping on my back was putting pressure on my chest, which is why I couldn't breathe. So then she's telling me you got to sleep on your side. But then, like, my stomach is... It just, nothing was comfortable.
Yeah.
So I think just from health standpoint, it definitely affected my psyche, my moods. My blood pressure went up a little bit because I wasn't getting as much sleep.
Yeah.
But aside from that, you know, I can't tell you how bad my body was because I didn't even test it.
Yeah.
I know I was deconditioned.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I had to try to do a jump jack, I would have pulled a hamstring or something.
Yeah.
But I tried to stay so still during that process just to get back to the healthy me.
Do you feel like you went through any depression?
I feel like I went through any depression. I've been through you know, a stage in my life where I battled depression, and so that it didn't take me to that place, mm-hmm. but it took me to the very, you know, deepest, darkest point it could, mm-hmm. meaning I was no longer Corey. I was no longer the trainer you knew. I was mm-hmm. no longer that energy source for people. And I had to really find out who I really was, because yeah. that's been taken from me. So to me, that was the process happening. Like, I let it take me to that point where there was just question marks. Mm-hmm. And then the only way to know would have been, you know, to go the 4 months and get my body back.
So I think that's so powerful. Oh, sorry. I think it's so powerful. So how have you changed, I guess, the way you deal with your overweight clients now?
Man, I think the ability to reach them is almost effortless now, because I understand. I think before I convinced myself I knew, but now I'm coming from a place of understanding. Yeah. So a lot of my examples, I'm using me, you know, yeah. and I'm saying things like, hey, I know it's hard. I bet your abs are cramping up during, but just six days from now, you'll yeah. be better. And hey, you don't have to do it all this month. Start out by walking. You know, I'm giving them cliff notes that I made, and that allows them to trust me more. And then my approach, I think, is just from a mental aspect. I was always a believer that it's mental, but just knowing how to get there, it's all mental.
Yeah.
And so I'm reaffirming that with them. Like, look, I get it. You want your body back. You want this. You want that. But at the end of the day, you got the rest of your life to lose weight. Let's focus on being better. When yeah. you're focused on better, you're going to get to best. Yeah. But if you're just trying to get to good, those people never make it.
Yeah.
And so those examples like that, I think people are able to just, it resonates. And I don't really go through some of the same things I used to go through with clients. It's mm-hmm. almost kind of just an understanding, and we win faster.
Yeah. One thing that I found very difficult on the show was, you know, we knew that there was 10 of us out there, you know, mm-hmm. on this project, and we knew, you know, we're going to train with our client, but those 4 months, it felt like isolation. Like yeah. we couldn't reach out to each other.
And like, you had no one else that was yeah, there to
so,
say, hey,
so
I'm
afterwards, weight. Once we came out on the other side, I feel like now we're this big community, mm-hmm. you know, we're always reaching out to each other. Like when each of us are in each other's city, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. we shout each other mm-hmm. out, try to meet up. But during that weight gain, it would have been so nice to have somebody else to talk to.
But that's why they
But yeah. exactly, that's what made it such a great show, is that we literally had to go through this alone.
And that's what you have to do when you're losing weight. It doesn't matter if you have 10 kids, a husband, you know, and a support team at your work. It doesn't matter. You go to bed at night, and in your mind, it's a lonely place, because yeah. you know you got to wake up, you got to work hard. You're going to these outings, and you're choosing to eat this over this. Mm-hmm. It's all a walk you have to do alone. Yeah. So I kind of, looking back, I'm happy that they didn't give us those mediums.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we would have had like a support group in the DM.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But going through it, I've convinced myself no one knows what this is, what I'm going through.
Yeah.
So.
And it wouldn't have been as bad if you guys had each other. And I think they yeah. wanted it to be bad.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you, so
they
you
did.
Sat in what you were oh, doing. Yeah. yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah. They definitely, I mean, it made for good TV. All yeah. of us crying. Did you cry?
I didn't cry.
Oh, man.
I didn't cry.
I was so upset because I didn't cry in the beginning. I held it together. I was pretty happy.
You were crying all the
time. Listen. But they would keep on telling me, you have to show emotion. I wouldn't do the at-home video cameras. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not doing that, yeah. you know? I'm like, I'm good. But once, I'm telling you, once my menstrual cycle messed up, like, mm-hmm. I know I was put on this earth to be a mom. Mm-hmm. And once my menstrual that cycle just messed up, that hit way too close to home. I'm like, you know what? This is way too much. Mm. Like, that's when the tears started flowing. And then seeing my client, you know, when he had diabetes mm-hmm. or pre-diabetic, and, you know, he wanted to quit. And it's just like, you know,
lost it.
I was so invested in him and his success that I couldn't hold it together.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not ashamed. I was vulnerable, and that's what the show, it was supposed to do. It was supposed to break us open in areas that we didn't want to show the world,
yeah.
you know, and I feel like it's because of that. I feel like, you know, I am, I guess, less to myself now. I can talk to clients like you were saying about
transparency.
Yeah, exactly. I went through the same thing. I was going through the same thing. So
again,
so
I wish I could do that, but
it's too tough.
Do your own Fit to Fat. Right? We'll do it right here on Fit Club.
No,
anybody wants Shaka to do Fit to Fat, I'll help you get fat.
I'm learning from both of you. I'm learning well from both of you.
One thing I don't know about you, Corey, is what made you become a trainer? I don't know. All I know is Corey the trainer.
Corey the trainer.
I mean, I see you as being like, on your way to being an NFL player, or you seem, you know, very athletic, outgoing. Mm-hmm. What did you want to become, or did you always want to become a trainer?
Well, you know, I had always had a love for fitness. I was mm-hmm. that guy who would get to the YMCA with all of his homies Saturday morning to hoop, and I'm upstairs working out with the old people and asking questions. I was just a gym junkie. So that followed me through college. You know, I'm supposed to be in the student center cleaning off weights, but I got, like, the dance team asking me questions, and I got football players wanting to run sprints with me. I just always had that motor. And
so
that.
Did you play any sports?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wrestled, soccer, football, basketball. Mm-hmm. I played – I walked on in college football. I even played some semi-pro just for fun. But it was always out of interest. You know, it was never something that – yeah, I thought could take me to the next level. Yeah. My heart got broken in college. College, I realized, like, bro, you're not making it, bro. Like, you hate waking up to go watch you hate doing walkthroughs.
It's intense.
I was like, it was a job. And I was like, I didn't know it was like this. But, you know, I had, you know, self-realization in Nashville that I could be doing more. And so I moved to Atlanta to do the modeling thing. And I started my company online. It was fitnessasalifestyle.blogspot.com.
I remember
it was
those
free.
Days.
It was free. Right. And when I got to Atlanta, of course, I went through all of my money in 6 months, clubbing every day. And I finally had to say, well, I could be a starving artist and a side trainer, or I can try to be a great trainer and commit to it. And so the process started of me trying to really define what I thought a trainer was. You know, I didn't go to school for that. I started training before I even got certified, honestly. I just felt that if I'm going to motivate somebody to work out and if I'm in charge, how would I want it? And so I kind of built it around that. And who I am today is self-taught, and it comes from just trying to be what I feel people need. Not what they want, because maybe they want somebody just to take your money and not check up on you. But no, I'm going to haunt you on Friday nights. And I might show up to your house on Sunday. Like, oh, you're not going to church? Cool. Let me see what that fridge is like. Anything for the win.
That's funny.
Speaking of the fridge, I read that you are all about healthy cheat foods. So I wanted to hear, there's a couple of examples, or like, what can the viewers do at home that's easy that they could cheat with?
Okay, okay. One of my favorite concoctions is, I have a sweet tooth, but it's not for refined sugar. It's for the real thing, you know, strawberries versus strawberry flavor. You know, I'll go in the kitchen. It might be, you know, 3 a.m. I've had fun that night, whatever. I'll chop up like an apple, banana. I put like 2 tablespoons of peanut butter in like a little saucer, warm it up for 11 seconds. Not 10, not 12, 11.
11.
I'll drizzle it over the top, get some granola, put it on there. You know, if maybe if I have like some flaxseed, put it on there, I'll knock that out. What's some other things I'll do? I'll definitely do like the sweet potato fries with like the black bean or the veggie crumble, you know, and I'll put that on there with cheese. And so healthy versions of the crap that's out there. I try to mimic a lot. And peanut butter. I put peanut butter on everything.
See, I think that's so important. When you can kind of cheat healthy.
You never lose.
Yeah, you never lose.
I'll even laugh at myself. I'll be like, Corey, man, you really sat up here and ate a whole thing of broccoli with some hummus. And, like, you're winning. Like,
I did that last night. Literally, it was like 11 o'clock. And my roommate is like, are you eating? And I was literally in the kitchen in my bathrobe, dipping strawberries in peanut butter.
And to you, you're going, oh, this cheat is so good. Or, like, this is my dessert. And, so and then you sit back and you go, wait a minute, it's not really a cheat.
Exactly.
Like, you're like, I wish my clients cheated.
So what is one, I guess, food that you really miss from getting fat on the show?
You want me to help myself?
Sounds like that pizza, all the toppings.
Well, honestly, if anyone was around during that time, they know. Lemon pepper wings.
Oh, yes.
I was going through like...
Wow. I love lemon pepper.
I was going through like 7 years.
I've never had lemon pepper wings.
I remember when I was saying those words. I was like, you sure it's better than barbecue? But and this chick was like, Corey, you try lemon pepper.
I tried it.
And that was years prior. And then they were like, yeah, you got to gain weight. The first thing out of my mouth was, lemon pepper. I was literally eating about 60 or 70 wings a day.
Wow.
I mean, it was getting to a point where I was like... like putting in my mouth and like pulling out the bone.
It's
like competitive eating technique. And it's funny just talking about it. Like, they do sound good, but you know, staying away from it.
Isn't it crazy? I know for me, after I was eating all that food, I felt like I couldn't even taste it anymore. Yeah. I feel like my taste buds were just so oversaturated from all the different. So it was just, you were just eating, but I felt like I couldn't enjoy it as much as I did like the first week of
going in. It's so much. Yeah. I mean, when I'm on my, you know, my normal routine of things, like if I were to open a Pepsi or something, it would burn. It would burn my throat.
Yeah.
You know, if I would bite into some Sour Patch or something, it would like make, you know, my taste buds cringe. But during that process, it got to like month three. I'm like eating Taco Bell. I mean, all these things.
Oh yes.
And it wouldn't even taste anything. And then
And then you feel not great.
Yeah. And it's a waste of money. Everyone always says eating healthy is expensive. No, it's not. When you're buying food every 2 hours, you're always breaking the bank.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with
for
you.
Crap
I spent
food.
You never not even money. Good food. Exactly. Yeah. I spent so much money eating.
I went
out
to Popeyes for the first time in my life. Yes, first time in my life. And no offense to Popeye lovers, but I was like, is this it?
Yeah.
I ate like 10 of these. I'm still hungry. Like,
That is hilarious. So after the show, what do you have going on now? I know you have a tour. You have your fat to fit meal plan.
Yes,
tell us
yes.
what you have going on.
So post show, right now I'm touring the, you know, the entire country, honestly. You know, I was in my hometown about a week and a half ago. I've been in LA for a week now. I got another week left. After here, we're going to Texas. We're going to hit D.C. We're going to try to go to New York, Miami. So I'm just bringing the passion to the people. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be the people's champion.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit up on my little throne in Atlanta and just challenge you to come to me. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come to your parks, your schools. So that's happening now. And it's called the TaylorMade HIIT Tour. HIIT, of course, High Intensity Interval Training. Taylor is my last name. So that's awesome. And actually, I'm doing a class in L.A. this Saturday, the 25th at Griffith Park. So if anybody out there wants to come, check me out. And then, of course, I'm doing my fit to fat meal plan. So a lot of people are just asking questions, you know, how'd you do it? What'd you do? And I was like, instead of me going through 25 DMs, you know, every day, let me just create something that embodies what I did. So my fat to fit meal plan is different because it's literally how I had to work to lose the weight.
Yeah.
So, you know, you start your day with breakfast plus burpees, you know. You eat lunch Ooh. Plus sit-ups, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're doing midday snack with leg lifts.
That's how you got
to
do it.
It's how I had to.
Yeah.
And it's how people have to understand that it works. You're not just going to delegate an hour at the gym to your goals. It's the entire day featuring your goals.
And so wait, those workouts, so is it just like breakfast and then like a set amount of burpees? And, or are there more than that? Or is that just it?
Oh, no. So 7 days, a seven-day layout that you have to follow. And every single day is different food with different movements, plus it's a workout video that comes with that.
Okay.
Plus it's 10 tips, 10 real tips, not like just some magazine stuff that you can print out, but I had to think about what are some real things that I know that maybe people don't understand yet. So it's 10 tips that coincide with that. One of the things is just like, you know, water. And I'm very blunt. I'm just like, if you're trying to lose weight, only drink water.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's your anniversary. I don't care if it's the playoffs. Just drink water.
Don't drink your calories.
Yeah. And I'm like, and I get it. You want something different. But when I got through that first month of losing weight and I was just drinking water, I knew it was helping me.
So how long are those workouts that you're having with each meal? So,
Well, that's the thing. It's as long as it takes you.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to do 25 burpees, you know?
So that's it. So you have the breakfast and 25 burpees.
Yeah, every day.
I like that because especially if you're trying to lose weight, sometimes you get, 25 burpees, then 25 sit-ups, and then 25 squats, and then you're like, wait a minute, come on.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I want to recondition people's minds and understand. So if from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., you've eaten clean and you've done all of these movements throughout the day, you know, you make it to the gym and that's icing on the cake.
Exactly.
But if you don't, you haven't lost
you've
the
day.
You've
still done your work.
That's a good idea.
I used to do that when I couldn't make it to the gym. I try to do like 10 push-ups an hour and that was my thing. If I could do 10 push-ups an hour for 8 to 9 hours a day, I would be good.
Yeah.
You know?
But no, I live like that now. You know, I wake up, I have basically a lump sum of things I have to do. And I break it up throughout the entire day. So by the end of the day, if I got the energy or the time to do something else, it's just me getting ahead of tomorrow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You mentioned to me that happy is the new money. Can you please explain what you mean by that?
Happy is the new money. I'm not trying to preach to y'all, but the wherewithal, you know, your well-being, your mindset, being really at peace, that's the first step to achieving anything. I mean, forget, you know, losing weight, just getting your relationship back in order, getting, you know, people back in your life that you need, getting to higher positions, even in your career. Happiness is the key. And so I put it above money. You know, I actually closed down my studio in Atlanta. I had it for a couple of years, and I decided to go about it differently just because I wanted things a certain way. I didn't like how many hours I was working. I didn't like what I was feeling, and I felt that I could either live a lie or I could follow my vision and be happy with what I'm doing. And so I was like, man, money's overrated. Happiness is everything. Because now I'm working with less, doing more. Oh my God. So, you know, I flipped my mindset and I allowed that to come in. And that's kind of what I want to give out. I want people to understand, no matter what you prioritize, you are going to be the most important thing in your life. And if you're not happy, if you're not content, everything is going to eventually decay.
Yeah.
And some people out here making six figures, not even at 100%. They're giving the world like 62% of themselves, and they're still getting by. Just imagine if they filled themselves up. So money overrated, happiness is new money. That's my mantra.
We just went to church. I like that.
Once I found out who the trainers were on the show after you know they announced it, when I started following you, I realized you were so motivational. You were so spiritual. How did you get this way? Because you're not the typical trainer. I feel like a lot of people that would train with you might not necessarily train with you because you're a great trainer, but just because you, I think, embody it all. So how did you become so inspiring? Like, I would joke with the producers, and I would say, Corey, you know, he should run for mayor because he just has it. Like, that's part of you. You're very gifted in that area. So how did you become so motivating, inspiring, spiritual?
Thank you. I received that. Honestly, struggle and isolation. You know, the first few years in Atlanta were almost equivalent to like me doing time. I could either have only child.
Yeah.
You know, spoiled. Yeah. You know, content with everything. To go to a new city and you know, my car went out on me by month six.
Yeah.
I was walking to clients. I was living in like a Craigslist farm. You know, and my three other roommates couldn't even speak English. So we had to like...
So you were real isolated.
You know, and so it forced me to grow up, but I grew in, you know. So as the days went by, I'm writing and I'm reading. And it's like I came into like my own man just because I had nobody around me. I didn't have my friends telling me who I was. I didn't have a bunch of followers to give me false validation. I had to build myself up. Otherwise, I would have probably, I don't know, maybe gone home or failed. I don't know. So those years of struggle built the strength, you know, that I have. And really what you feel, Fallon, is just the belief I have in myself. Because now you can't I've been through the fire.
Yeah.
So what can you tell me?
Can't tell me nothing.
I was in the lion's den and I made it out. And so that's the passion you feel is the belief in me. And so now at this point, I'm a vessel being used to give it to other people.
Yeah.
I didn't know training was going to be a part of my career choice. I thought I was going to play pro ball, but I'm in charge of somebody else's goals, and they're not limiting me to no extent. I got their phone number, their address, their email. I know what they look like. I'm giving it all to them.
Dang, that's, I'd be scared.
I know.
He's going to show up and look at my friends, but you know, see what I'm eating.
But you know you're in for a commitment.
Yeah.
So I like
that's
that.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So your client on the show, we didn't really talk about her. How is she doing? I know she was a success. She lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
What's going on? I know you guys, what I liked about your episode is that you guys kept it real. Like, I remember her making fun of you because you were clapping, but you were trying to motivate her. And I feel like you, at the same time, you were motivating yourself, but, you know, it worked because she did lose the weight. How is she doing?
Well, shout out to Rayla, fellow Gemini. Happy belated. But Rayla's doing awesome. Rayla she lost about another 20 to 30 pounds after production.
Great.
She came
to a total of what?
I guess 70.
Wow.
It's amazing, right? And so she came to the viewing party and looked 10 times better than she did in the show. People were like, is that her?
Which is like a rarity sometimes with the shows. Yeah.
And now she's one of us. I mean, she's lame. She likes a bike ride. She likes color rides, you know? Nice. And she's into, she wants to start, she went from Planet Fitness. Now I think she's wanting to like get to like a tougher gym because she wants to do, you know, use weights.
Oh,
and
that's awesome to see.
I love it. Every time I see her, I mean, her timeline, it went from just vacancy to like screenshotting like motivational posts. Aww. And I'm just like, yes, Rayla, go, Rayla, go. Yeah. You know, so she's good. That's the best case scenario. A lot of clients, you know, aren't able to continue to carry the torch. You know, yeah. they need that. But
my client. Yeah.
But, my client. You know, it's all good. You know, for her, I guess I got to her, and I think her getting as close as she did to her goal weight on the show, mm-hmm. it was all she needed to know that she could do it. Yeah. So now there's no stopping her.
That's awesome.
So this Saturday, you're in Griffith Park. What time and where can they find the information?
Okay, so check me out. You want to, first of all, go to Instagram, people, and you want to look up at I am Corey Taylor, because that's my loudest voice right now. And so Griffith Park, the warm-ups are going to start around 10:15. We're probably going to do just some... I'm not even going to tell you what we're going to do, because you don't even, if you want to know, you come there. The boot camps actually starts at 10:30. We're going to do a 40-minute class with a 10 to 15-minute meditation at the end, and we're going to have sponsored product from Detour Bar, and it's going to be a good time. I mean, it's $10. You're going to spend that probably that night at the club or something like that. This is just going to be the time that you can invest into yourself versus taking things from you. So if I get 5 people, if we get 105 people, you're going to get all of me. So
yes.
And then why don't you tell us the one thing that you would tell anyone beginning their fitness journey? Because I think a lot of people watch mm-hmm. these things and they're about to start. So what's your method for beginning?
Look, all right, and you got to really listen so this doesn't, you know, go over your head or in through your, you know, one ear out the other. A journey of 1,000 miles, which you've heard before, begins with one step. You're free now. You're free. It doesn't have to be a large one or a small one or a fancy one or a strong one. Just take a step. Start walking a week straight. See what you can grow from there. You know, start eating more veggies. Mm-hmm. Start drinking more water. Start stretching in the morning. Just sign up for that class you know you can do, but you've always made excuses about. You know, go to that training center with your friend and do the free spin. Just take that step mm-hmm. and just keep stepping. And even if you step off track, you still are alive, so mm-hmm. you can step back on. So if you're just starting out, you have every bit of power and potential that I have, who am now finished with my journey. It's in you. So just take that step and grow. A lot of people have this idea of perfection. They want things to be done a certain way. I got to get my waist trainer. I got to burn 2,000 calories a day. I got to have this shaker box. I got to get the sauna suit.
Got to get the detox tea.
Yeah, and that's your consumer mindset. It's not about that. Just take a step forward. And honestly, the people you'll meet along the way are going to end up being the people that are closest to you, because all it takes is one person, and then people are going to be asking why you're doing it, then they're going to be asking how you're doing it, and then y'all going to be working out together. So
see, I'm a trainer, but I got to keep you around.
I'm going to rewatch this episode.
Exactly.
When I'm feeling down, I'm going to rewatch.
I didn't even hit you up. I'm like, I need some inspiration. I think that's the first time we talk. I'm like, hey, I need you to inspire me. So we appreciate you coming on the show. I'm so excited to finally meet you. You were one of my favorite episodes from the show, and I'm not saying that because you were here, but I did really enjoy it, and it's nice to, you know, have the fam in town mm-hmm. and come through Fit Club. You guys watching, make sure you follow Corey. Show up to the workout this weekend if you are in the LA area. He's going to motivate you. He's going to kick your butt, and then I love that you do a little meditation at the end so you can get in touch with yourself. Yeah. We will be here every Wednesday at Fit Club. Make sure to join next week. You guys can find me online at fitwithfallon.com or fitwithfallon.com. Fallon on Twitter, Instagram. One more time, Corey, where they can find you.
Twitter at FAA Lifestyle, Instagram at I am Corey Taylor, CoreyTaylor, and fitnessasalifestyle.com.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shaka Strong.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.